All right, by now you should be in Matthew chapter 12. We have been making slow progress, but progress nonetheless, as we navigate through the Gospel of Matthew. And we are addressing in this chapter, after the great call for compassion from the Lord Jesus at the end of Matthew 11, we're coming to an interesting setting where Jesus encounters once again the naysayers of the Pharisees. So you follow along as I read at least the first 8 verses. We'll see what the Lord allows us to accomplish beyond that. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, or the cornfields, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did?" I like to interpret the way Jesus says that in my own mind. Don't you read your Bible? Haven't you read your Bible? When he, David, was a-hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, special ceremonial bread dedicated to the temple service, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Now, David used that to help the soldiers who were hungry. And by the way, God never said, "Bad David." He permitted it, and understandably so, and we'll touch on that in a moment. So, verse 5, "Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' ye would not have condemned the guiltless." And that's taken from Hosea 6. "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day," which is a reference back to Daniel chapter 7. Let's pray. Father, help us now as we look to uncover this text. We thank you, Father, for it. We thank you for the challenge that it provides us. It also offers to us the instruction in how to have a balanced position on certain matters in life, and our testimony to be a blameless above all. I pray that you would guide our hearts, steer us towards you, bring us into understanding of your mercy and your kindness, your gentleness, your goodness, and yet your holiness and righteousness in all these things. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Nothing was closer to the heart of the Jew than the Sabbath day. They made much of the Sabbath day, and I might add, they made much more than God intended about the Sabbath day. The Sabbath had been given to the Jews by God by way of an example and a command. The example would be that the Lord rested on the Sabbath day after creation. That's the example. God did not intend for human beings to be working 7 days a week, every week of their life. Created us with the need to rest. And the Lord demonstrated that the Lord doesn't need to rest, but he did it for an example for us. But then there's the command. Remember the Sabbath day. Why? Keep it holy. Keep guard. Holy, separated, distinct, different. God had a reason for setting that day aside. And that, of course, is the fourth commandment mentioned in Exodus 20. So the Jews were to keep the Sabbath as a sign of a perpetual covenant between themselves and the Lord. I'd like for you to go back to Exodus chapter 21. I think it's important for us to get a little reacquainted with this text. Because oftentimes, and we've got a group of people today that like to make much about the Sabbath and have in recent years gained a popular following, and we need to go back to Scripture. And so we're going to look at chapter 21 of Exodus, beginning in verse number 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he ariseth again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. The servant, that is his money. We have a list of things here, of all kinds of laws that God had established with Israel. How to treat someone that you have harmed and they're not able to work, how you need to help supply their daily needs until they're able to get up and get going and moving around and making a living for themselves. But when we think about the law in which God had given as a covenant, the old covenant, to his people, Israel. Now again, we're not talking about the moral law. We're talking about just these rules and regulations that God had given to Israel, because they were a community living among themselves. We hear the word congregation. That was the whole population of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness, making their way to the promised land. The circumstances that they found themselves in, for whatever reason, anger, accident, there was a penalty to be paid. There was service to be done. There were circumstances to deal with and consequences to behold. Sabbath keeping was one of the issues of growing hostility between the Pharisees and Jesus. They embellished certain parts of the law. Jesus continued to manifest the grace and the mercy within that law. There are two sides to look almost almost everything or anything. And the Pharisees seemed to focus on everything that could possibly be done wrongly. They focused on that part of it. And of course, the Pharisees in our text are accusing Jesus and his disciples of breaking the Sabbath law. The circumstances that we have here is that you have hungry disciples in Matthew 12, verse 1. Hungry disciples walking through a cornfield. Now, I'm sure it's not the kind of corn that we see out in the fields today. I don't know if you've ever tried chewing on that, but it's not worth chewing on. Let me just say that by experience. But this was edible corn. Jesus is with them. He does not get after them. He does not scold them. He does not rebuke them. He allows them. And they are engaged in getting a few morsels into their body. And as they were plucking that corn and as they were eating it, They were taking grain on the Sabbath day. That was the big to-do. They were in public taking grain on the Sabbath because they were hungry. There's no spirit of mercy there. There's no spirit of grace. It was just very cut and dry to them. So what was the law? The law was that they could not operate a sickle, harvest the corn to gain a profit from it. The point was, keep the Sabbath day separate, holy. Separate from what? The other 6 days that you're working, making a profit. It's a day in which to make exclusive for the Lord and his work. These disciples were doing the Lord's work. They were traveling from one place to another. They were not only hungry, but they were also weary. Nevertheless, the Pharisees jumped right after him. We find in verse 13, and we did not read this, but I want you to look at this too, because the way Matthew is addressing this chapter, he's unfolding the ways in which the Pharisees strike out on many things. And in this particular verse, verse 13, it says, "Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth and was restored whole, like as the other." Here's a man who is in need of help with his health. And what happens? The Pharisees see it. They go out and they held a council against Jesus, how they might destroy him for healing a man that was in need on the Sabbath day. They missed the whole point of the Sabbath day. They made it a rule for man rather than a rule to honor God. In fact, it really wasn't to be viewed as a rule, it was to be viewed as a statement of obedience and faithfulness to the Lord. The criticism of the Pharisees, back in verse number 2, is that when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." There's many other incidences in Jesus' ministry where he's being called out by the Pharisees going, "We don't do that. Why do you? We obey God's law. Why don't you?" And so the accusation is that the disciples did what was unlawful, but it really wasn't unlawful to the commandment, certainly not the spirit, but certainly also the law, the letter of the law. It became known as the tradition of the fathers. This is what some religions today have. It's called extra-biblical teaching. Made by man. Instituted for the purpose of following men, thinking that men can tune men up, other men up, to be like them, not necessarily God. That's a problem. You say, well, what were these traditions of the fathers? They added 39 different kinds of works to the law. These traditions of the fathers became lawful traditions. Who said so? Men said so. Taking grain and eating it, not lawful. Well, why not? Because they said so. But that's not what God said. I'd like for you to, and maybe some of you have a reference Bible and you already see Deuteronomy 23 there. I want us to turn there, Deuteronomy 23 and verse 25. I'd like for us to see what the law really says. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 25. And I read, "When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn." You can pluck it with your hands, but you can't put a machine to it, if you will. A hand is not doing to gain money, but a machine, an instrument, would be to operate, to accumulate in order to gain a profit. This is about making money. This is about working the same on the Sabbath as you do the other 6 days of the week. And the Lord says here, there's a distinction. There's a distinction. On the Sabbath, they reaped and threshed. Not permitted. But to go in and grab a few ears and nibble on the way to your next post of ministry, that was completely acceptable. Completely acceptable. We have this notion among the Pharisees that breaking any law that they had set up as law became unlawful, became an unlawful act. I'd like for us to look at verse number 10 of chapter 12, back in Matthew chapter 12, verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And look what the reason is that they asked that question. In order that they might accuse him. Ask a public question. Ask it in such a way that it puts a person in a position to answer boldly, blatantly, in order to hook himself. And that's what the Pharisees were notorious for doing. They had antagonism toward the Lord Jesus. They knew how to deliberately set up people, in particular the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. The deliberate setup was basically based on this question: what would he do if we found him here or there? What would he do if we asked a question about his healings, about his ministry on, it became their Sabbath day? To refuse healing would be a lack of mercy. God only works 6 days a week. Well, that's absurd. We know that that's not biblical. Again, why did God set this up to not work on the Sabbath day? So as to make it separate from the other days. And to give man rest. It doesn't mean that he doesn't do anything. The Sabbath day was raised to do those two things that I mentioned earlier. It was one of obedience to the Lord, but it was also one of following the Lord, using the day that would honor him, giving your time and your effort to that day for the Lord to do things that you find more challenging in the other 6 days of the week. So to refuse to heal showed a lack of mercy, and yet to restore a hand showed that he was a lawbreaker in their eyes. They had a malicious intent. That was their only purpose. And we know that as we read through the Gospels and become acquainted with the life of Christ throughout our readings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We know that they're looking for ways in which to get the people around him supporting them as the Pharisees and look at him as a lawbreaker. And of course, during the time of his ministry, as they're asking questions and he's giving answers, and they're really trying to pin him down on this idea that, is he the Messiah? Is he the Christ? And then when he made that statement that he and the Father are one, they lost their minds. Blasphemy. That was basically what got him to the place to be on trial and to be hung on the cross. But again, that was all in God's providence. But it just shows that the religion of that day is really not much different than the religion of our day. Religion kills. There is no life in religion. There's only life in a relationship with God, walking with God, walking in His Word, reading it to understand how I'm supposed to walk and talk and live and give and serve and sacrifice. But they sought to bring a charge against Him. There was no concern for the man. There was no concern for the disciples who were hungry. It was only about getting Jesus and making a public spectacle of Him so that His followers would reduce in size. So now we come to the challenge of Christ. And we have the Old Testament as an example where we have David brought up in verse number 3 and 4. Again, let's look at this. He said unto them, Jesus saying unto the Pharisees, have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered and that they were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. He's basically asking, have you read it and do you understand what happened there? I'd like a response. David and the men ate the showbread, the soldiers, his soldiers. Yes, it was intended only for the priests. There was bread there for a week. I believe it was 12 loaves, one for each tribe. It was there to eat for the priests, the ones who were set apart to do the ministry of the temple. But there was a human need that exceeded the ceremonial expression. And God gave allowance. God showed mercy. Pharisees did not show mercy. You read throughout the New Testament, especially in those first four books, very, very, very many times there are Pharisees grappling, arguing, trying to make themselves God. The human need was more important than the rites of religion. We find the sacrifices and the priests here. Priests, by offering sacrifices, actually broke the Sabbath. That was the point Jesus said here. We're going to take the law all the way to the end result that nobody can do anything at any time. Then what do you think priests are doing on the Sabbath day? Does that make them violators of the law? Well, that was a puzzling question. It was a question that they could not answer. Jesus had trapped them in their own trap. Yet they were not judged as guilty because that was their service, God-ordained service. There are exceptions, not to breaking the law, but to expressing the law at the place, at the time, in the circumstance. We're not talking about relative obedience. We're talking about these disciples' motivation and intention was, oh good, we get to break the Sabbath. Let's use being hungry as a reason for that. Now, let's transfer that into today. If the disciples had the kind of farm equipment that is available to us today, they said, hey, we're hungry, let's go out and get the combine of corn so that we can go and have a feast after church tonight. Not necessary. What did you do with the day before? What did you do the day before that? So the point is this. There are two ways of looking at what Jesus did. Either he violated and did break the law, or there is a spirit within the law that allows for an exception in which there wasn't a violation at all, because these men were not looking to go through the cornfield and get enough corn to be able to sell it on the corner once they got to the next town. Their intent was to fill their belly because they were hungry. I believe one of the principles that we can gain from this particular incident is that service for the Lord is greater than man's rituals. Service to the Lord is greater than man's rituals. But we never did it that way. Well, you can imagine the Pharisees saying something like that. Service to the Lord is greater. Now, again, anything can be taken out of context. Service for the Lord, we need to define that very clearly. That's service unto the Lord, not service called for the Lord, and we get to do it however we want to do it. No, it's a service that is rendered to the Lord that we know, that we seek to enlarge the name of the Lord and to be a blessing to the Lord. Now we come down to the evidence of life in verses 11 and 12, and we did not read those. So let me go back up to verse 9, and I will plow through the next, let's go down to verse 14, which I've already read. And when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Common sense, right? Good question. If you had something that was hurting and in danger, would you wait until the next day? Or would you go after it once you were made aware of the emergency? So verse 12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Plural. Doesn't matter which Sabbath day. Any Sabbath day. It is always lawful to do well. Good things. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. I'll show you, Pharisees. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. And the Pharisees went running. I can't believe he did this. Held a council against him, how they might destroy him. How dare he heal that man? How dare his disciples go and eat corn on the Sabbath day? How dare he give permission and say that he is the Son of God? Man is more important than animals. Now, there used to be a day in which I could preach that and keep going on, but not today. So I'm going to make a little more hay out of that. Man is the only one created in the image of God, created with a living soul, an eternal soul that will live forever. That is the only creation that has a living soul. Humankind is more important. And the Pharisees would rescue a sheep but not restore a man. There's something broken in that kind of person's soul. Not to do good when we can is the equivalent of doing evil, even if it's on the Sabbath. Let me say that again. Not to do good when we can is the equivalent of doing evil, even if it's on the Sabbath. Jesus healed the man. He basically said to the Pharisees, you can do whatever you want, you can think whatever you think, but I know it honors God. It's helping those in need, even if it's on the Sabbath day. Because it wasn't about Jesus making money. It was about him giving glory to the Father. It wasn't about the disciples again looking to make money. It was about them filling their bellies so that they could continue to serve the Lord on the Sabbath. Motivation is important. And the essence of the Sabbath is to be one of compassion. Having compassion better than prancing through ceremonies, which the Pharisees love to do, is better. Compassion is necessary. Looking at people through the lens of Scripture, looking at people with a heart for the Lord, looking at people as an eternal living soul, is vital to our operation of serving the Lord. I say this often. If there's ever a project that's too big where people can't be ministered to, it's time to either reevaluate the project or shut it down. We're not here for buildings. We're not here for programs. We're here for reaching people, teaching people, ministering to people, showing compassion to people, and even giving our most to help people. That's what Jesus was all about. That's what Scripture teaches us. The spiritual condition of the heart is more important than the outward observance of some kind of law that's been embellished by man's foolishness. Consider the need for the Sabbath in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. When I first entered into the ministry, I was presented with a challenge about the number of days believers should work and all of those things, and what the difference between the Sabbath and the Lord's Day is, and is there a transfer of anything from the Sabbath day to the Lord's Day? And I'll reserve that message for another time. But this is one of the texts that helped bring some clarity. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And he, Jesus, said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Helps rearrange the priority. Helps us to focus. God created that Sabbath day for man, not man for the Sabbath. Not man to follow a bunch of rules, to just go through the actions of religious practice. But man was blessed to have the Sabbath made for him, that day of rest. The need for the Sabbath was that man needed rest. It was for his blessing. It was for rest, not recreation. It was for worship and spiritual refreshment under the Old Testament law among the Jews. It's a day of worship, spiritual refreshment, taking time just to delight in the Lord. I'd like to think that many of those psalms that David wrote were written on the Sabbath. It was a day for service, not selfishness. This is the only day I have off. Doing good for his glory was the intent of the Sabbath. When the day is spent in his service, there is no argument of right or wrong of the use of that time. It's for the Lord. It's not for gaining anything. Certainly not material things. And there's the sacredness of the total life of a believer is to be at rest in the Lord. Life's not divided between the secular and the sacred. We don't say, well, this is one compartment of my life and this is another compartment of my life. For the believer, life is sacred, set apart for the Lord. And if we can't live our lives in what we're doing and where we're at to be separated unto the Lord, we need to revisit that before the Lord. We need to make sure things line up. We're to be living for the Lord 7 days a week. All of us have been called to a mission field. For some of you, you work in an office, or you work in a classroom, or you work in a grocery store, you work at a bank, or you work somewhere. That's a sacred opportunity for you. Monday through Friday should not be looked at as, ooh. It should be looked at as, here is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God's got opportunities for me to serve Him and for Him to be made much from my life, my words, my actions. So are we sanctifying the secular or secularizing the sacred? These are the attitudes behind the questioning of the Pharisees that I think are appropriate for us to consider, especially where life is so busy, so fast-paced, we're just trying to hang on so that we're not blown off the road. And yet we do need to order our hearts and our motivations within this parameter. The commemoration of the Sabbath is the idea of one day a week for the Lord's work. One day a week. That was the premise upon which the Jewish people had been established by God's law. It was enjoyed upon. It was embraced by every Jew. The Jew focuses on the Sabbath day. The believer focuses on the Lord's day. Now, I know I'm getting awfully close to that message that I'm tempted to preach, but we don't have time and you're ready to go home. So I'm just going to keep sailing here to my last 2 points. Remember, when God finished creation, He rested. There's a work that God's doing in each of our hearts and lives as a believer. And it's bringing us to that place of complete rest one day. When we gather together on this Lord's Day, we gather together to celebrate the risen Savior. And we set it apart as a holy day to the Lord. The first day of the week is what our focus is on. The finished redemption, the new creation that we are in Christ Jesus, and looking forward to that ultimate new heaven and new earth. Today we have voluntary worship and service, but one day we will all be worshiping and serving Him in the throne room of heaven. There's a lot packed into this question that the Pharisees, and I'm very doubtful that many of them ever came full circle to turn back to the Lord. Some, I believe, did. We have men that we know, Nicodemus for one, Joseph of Arimathea. These two men served in the Sanhedrin, the 70 rulers over the entire arch of religion during this time. Those two found what rest was, even while they were torn and serving in those positions. But they came to understand what it meant to rest in the Lord while their comrades were seeking to gain rest by keeping the letter of the law and removing themselves from seeing any space to use that day, especially as a day of ministry, as a day of compassion, as a day of helping, as a day to know the Lord even more intimately. So we have the challenge before us. The challenge is this: how do we look at the law? I'm not asking, do we obey the law? That's not in question. But how do we look at the law? Do we look at the law as a guide to help us obey him and love him? Or do we look at it as, I've got to keep this. I have to be perfect at this. How are we supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength every day? And grow in that perfectly. I don't know about you, I'm not there. The law is set there as a guide, as a standard. God wants me to honor him this way. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to put my eyes to that. I'm going to put my feet in that direction. I'm going to put my hands on it. But I'm not looking to do it in a way for God to approve. I'm looking at it as a way to obey and to love and to honor him. And we could go down the whole list. Why do you think Jesus asked the question about a person murdering and then says, if you hate that person in your heart, you've already murdered him? What's the motivation behind that? It's having a heart that's pure and honorable before the Lord, seeking to be right with God on a regular basis. The same with lust, adultery in the heart, coveting. I never hear anybody bragging about, I've never coveted. I don't have that problem. I'm afraid we all, to a certain degree, have that problem. Because so many times, even in our Christian walk, we feel like we are less than someone else. And we can covet someone else's spiritual progress. The spirit of all of this is to honor the Lord. Not to gain the approval of man, not to gain a notch in our religious, among our religious peers or our superiors, but to honor the Lord and to please him and say, Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be honest today, to have pure thoughts today. To think on those things that Paul reminded the Philippian church about in Philippians 4, 8, 9. May my motivation be pure. May it only be you. And anyone else that's blessed by it, I'll give you the praise for it. Beware of having that Pharisee critical spirit. Beware. It will creep in and it kills. And it saps the joy of the Lord, not only out of your heart and life, but out of the life of others who seek to please him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we've had today in the Word, singing testimonies. We thank you again, Father, for yesterday among the men, for those that visited during our special time. We're thankful, Father, for those who continue to see the outreach of the digital tract ministry and continue to show an interest, even some today. And Father, I pray that you would help these folks to be ready to visit and that you would compel them and take every obstacle out of their way, that, Lord, they would come with a friend, come with their family, and maybe for some even come by themselves, but help them to come. And may we pray for these ones as we go throughout this week. Lord, draw our hearts close to you. Keep us from wandering. Keep us from a critical spirit. Keep us from having an overly judgmental attitude. And if we're to judge anyone, help us to judge ourselves, that we might walk rightly. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here today. Thank you for those that are watching. We ask, Lord, that this week would be a wonderful week of blessing as we spend time in your word and pray, as we seek to be an encouragement to another brother or sister in Christ, as we try to be a witness and hand out a tract or speak to someone to brighten their day and find a way in which to bridge it to a gospel conversation. Give us safety on the roads. Watch over us as we work. And help us to keep our eye and our heart ready for when the Lord Jesus comes for us. Bless us, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.